Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Ed Morse Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
So it is. The 8 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show. We're here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming online, WQAM.com, or via your smartphone. Tune in, radio app, radio.com app, however you listen. We appreciate you. And if you want to get in via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560 or via the plumbers911.com text line. But don't text and drive. Get us there at 56022. You know, when a couple segments ago, I gave you my crusade against bandwagon jersey wearers. That I'm disgusted by the fact that Tom Brady has the number one selling NFL jersey in the state of Florida. At three teams in Florida. You're telling me not one Dolphin, not one Buccaneer, not one Jaguar can sell more jerseys in this state than Tom Brady. My ground rules. You only wear a jersey of a team you're a fan of. If you're a Dolphin fan, what the hell are you doing buying a Tom Brady jersey? A couple things came out of that. It's been revealed to us that Anthony Calatiud, our coworker here, Solana, he told you that he only has one NFL jersey, and that's a Tom Brady jersey. So he's part of the problem, and he is a Dolphin fan, right? Is he a Dolphin fan? I'm not even sure.
He has no guts. He's not a Dolphins fan.
So is he a fan of any team, or he just kind of rides the wave of success?
He's a fan of the game, he will claim. I have been told, again, I've never saw this for sure, but I have been told that he went to Foxborough and wore a Patriots shirt.
Oh, my God. Just move there.
And it was against the Dolphins, by the way.
Oh, that's shameful. How do you do that? I'll tell you, the only time I ever wore another team's gear in another team's stadium, I thought this would be so funny, but it went over like dead weight, did not work. Years back, 10 years ago or so, I went to a Miami versus Georgia Tech game at Georgia Tech, Bobby Dodd Stadium. Bunch of gutless fans up there. These sports fans, these Georgia Tech fans, so boring. I was appalled by this. An October game, I show up to Bobby Dodd Stadium. The student section, they were wearing shirts and ties. It was a bunch of Al Goldens going to the game. Polite engineering majors, no trash talk whatsoever. Very polite people, which is normally good, but not when you're at a sporting event. You want to have a little bit of an edge, a little swagger at a sporting event. Most boring fans ever, these Georgia Tech fans. No guts, no swagger, no trash talk whatsoever. I had this brilliant idea that I showed up to this game because I don't often go to games in other cities, at least not as a fan. Like as a member of the media, press box, whole different thing. You can't show any rooting interest. But as a fan, I show up to this Miami versus Georgia Tech game in disguise. I'm wearing a Georgia Tech sweatshirt over a Kenny Dorsey throwback Hurricanes jersey. Because I thought, okay, when the moment is right, I'm going to taunt all the people in my section. I had cut a little cut into my sweatshirt so I could rip it off like Hulk Hogan to reveal my Ken Dorsey throwback underneath. I do this, by the way, to make a long story short, the Canes ended up losing that game. That was Calvin Johnson's final year. Kyle Wright at quarterback, it didn't go well, but in the second quarter, we were dominating. We were running things. So I decided now is my moment. I'm pretending to cheer. I'm like learning the Georgia Tech cheers with these people. And then I turn around, look at my section. I start flexing the guns. And then I rip off the sweatshirt to reveal my Kenny Dorsey throwback. Nobody cared. You could hear a pin drop in that place. These fans were gutless. If I had done that, like if I had ripped off my Gastineau jersey in New York to reveal a Zach Thomas jersey underneath, they would have been throwing things at me, would have gotten into arguments, would have been great because the fans in New York have guts. The Georgia Tech fans, no guts whatsoever.
if you're in another city and you go, let's say I was in Brooklyn a couple years ago and I went to Barclays Center to watch Pelicans versus Nets.
Mm-hmm.
I rocked the Heat shirt. I got a lot of trash talk for wearing like a third party team.
Yeah, but you're repping your team. You're repping your team, though. So like you're a Miami fan. You wanted to catch some basketball. You rep your team. I support you.
So you don't have any issue with, you know, let's say some random guy wearing a Kobe Lakers jersey at a Heat Knicks game.
Not if it's really your team. If you're just random guy who grew up in Miramar and you decide to throw on a Kobe jersey for no reason, then you probably need to weigh your life's priorities. But if you're like if you're from Los Angeles, you're in town visiting, you go to a basketball game, you wear your Kobe jersey, you're a lifelong Kobe fan, then I think it's okay. So here's I always rant on this. Like I'm not mentally stable. Like I need clinical help for this weird obsession I have. But here's some of the reaction we got on the plumbers911.com text line. Bro, that's a losing battle. We have all the fans in the world here in Florida. A lot of bandwagoners, though. LOL, I can't imagine caring so much about what someone else wears. Different strokes, I guess. The only thing worse than a casual jersey wearer is one with the matching shoes, a texter writes. I'm a Dolphin fan, but have yet to find shoes in that color that looks good for an adult male. You won't. Short story there. You're not going to find good-looking aqua or orange shoes. Your only chance is to go with like a neutral black or neutral white sneaker. That's your only hope of survival there. But yeah, people think I'm a little obsessed over this. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Get in via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. See, here it is. I went away unscathed wearing a Kenny Dorsey throwback at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Nobody cared because there are a bunch of boring-ass fans in Atlanta. Texter writes in, Dono, I wore a Dan Marino jersey at the Meadowlands. Barely made it out alive. That's how it should be. That's what I was expecting. Like, I had this master plan. Got the Georgia Tech sweatshirt in disguise over the Ken Dorsey throwback. When I rip off the Georgia Tech sweatshirt, people will be throwing bottles at me, fighting me. Nobody cared whatsoever in this section at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Bunch of boring losers.
I have a similar story. I went to Game 7, 2009. Heat Hawks in Atlanta.
Ah.
Decked out in Heat gear, and maybe it had to do with us being five guys deep, all dressed in Heat gear, but got absolutely no hate. Like, not one person said a single thing to us.
Jeez. And they got to build some guts. That's probably why they lost their hockey team up there in Atlanta. And the Thrashers went to Winnipeg. No guts whatsoever. I'm using that word because I love Pat Riley so much. Speaking of Pat Riley, had a chance to chat with his protege, Eric Spoelstra, today. The Miami Heat practice court, getting ready for summer league. I thought this was really appropriate, some of what Spoelstra talked about today, because we spent a lot of time on this last night with Ira Winderman. I thought the biggest snub towards the Heat organization was Rodney Magruder not making either of the all-rookie teams, first or second team. You're telling me there were 10 rookies last year better than Rodney Magruder? You're kidding yourself. I thought he was snubbed. I thought that snub was bigger than, you know, Hassan Whiteside not being all defense or Eric Spoelstra not being coach of the year. I thought the Rodney Magruder thing, that one cut deeper for me because I thought he deserved that honor. Eric Spoelstra talked about Magruder today, saying first, you know, he wasn't disappointed about losing coach of the year, but he was disappointed about Magruder.
You know, somebody asked me about how I felt about the coach of the year. You know, none of us felt disappointed about that. We weren't even thinking along those lines, but I was extremely disappointed about the lack of recognition for Rodney Magruder and what he did for us this year. Started 65 games. He is one of the toughest, most competitive, detailed defenders in the league. He took on the challenge every single night of the best wing defenders.
Here's Spo, more on Magruder, saying that, you know, and he'd already mentioned started 65 games last year, but here's Spoelstra on Magruder being more than just a rookie.
Forget about being just a rookie, an impactful pro. What we did during the second half of the season was as much about the mentality and toughness that a Rodney Magruder gave to us as it was anybody else. Everybody contributed. So it's disappointing to see that he didn't get recognized for that. We thought it was going to be a lock. I talked about it during the year. I mean, there was some discussion about him possibly being potentially Rookie of the Year.
Man, and not only did he fall short of Rookie of the Year, fell short of first or second team all rookie. And, you know, Spoelstra mentioned he thought he'd be a lock. Here's Spo on, you know, more of Magruder's credentials, why he should have been honored.
Yeah, I think he led all rookies in minutes, but quality minutes for a team really competing for the playoffs. And the challenge that he took every single night guarding those prolific scores was tremendous.
And something you always hear about with Miami Heat players, one of the many reasons why I love that organization, guys get better in Heat uniforms. Whether you're a rookie or you're somebody who's bounced around the league like James Johnson, Reclamation Project, Dion Waiters, whether you're a young developing player or you are a middling veteran who's been stuck in purgatory, the Miami Heat, whether it be Spoelstra, Riley, the overall culture, they find a way to develop players, young players, veterans alike. And Spoelstra says, rightfully so, that Magruder showed great growth during the year.
He showed great growth. This won't stop him. This just adds more fuel to his fire. And we don't want to take anything away from guys that got voted in. We just all felt for him.
And here's Spo on Rodney not being wired for recognition.
But he's not wired for recognition. That's also why we like him. We think he's a great fit for us. He just loves to compete. He loves to improve at this game. He loves to help a team win. He's a winning player. So there'll be bigger and better things moving on. He's already had more workouts in our gym than anybody so far in this offseason. So he's getting after it.
Yeah, and anytime these NBA awards and the postseason honors are given out, you get the feeling that most of it comes down to a popularity contest. Like, it would help you to be on a championship contending team, to be a player who's more talked about. You know, Spoelstra here kind of goes into sort of how people view the awards and the voting.
Yeah, you just don't know how it gets viewed. I think maybe it's an indictment on the first half of the season that nobody was paying attention to us. And so I would probably assume that not many people really knew who Rodney Magruder was. I doubt many people knew that he started 65 games for us. I doubt that people really recognized the role, the significant role that he had with us. And his consistency and growing into a bigger role. He had a big role for us, arguably as big as any of the players. And again, I'm not taking away anything that those guys did, but sometimes it's recognition, and maybe the lesson to learn on all is for all of us is, you know, winning does change perception.
And something I think has been established here, Eric Spoelstra loves him some Rodney Magruder. Big fan of Magruder, Magrudes, as I call him. Spoelstra also talked a little bit about the offseason. So a couple of things to note. You know, I was at the practice floor today. You could, of course, hear the sneakers squeaking, the basketballs on the court. So the Heat are preparing for Summer League. Somebody who will not be playing in Summer League is Udonis Haslem. But Udonis Haslem was there today. We saw him. Like, we walked in kind of at the very end of practice as things were winding down. And UD, who's, you know, the Heat team captain, 14 years of service with the Heat organization, he's there talking to the young guys, inspiring the young guys. I love that, man. I mean, Udonis Haslem. I know that he's a relic on the court. You can no longer count on him to be anything resembling an elite basketball player anymore. But so many intangibles, right? It's why you've been willing to, and probably will be willing to again. He's going to be a free agent next week. But why you've been willing to give a roster spot up to Udonis Haslem, because he's so important to this culture and this organization. And when he does decide to step away from basketball officially, I'm sure he's got a guaranteed spot, some way, shape, or form, player development, front office job. They're going to take care of Udonis Haslem. But UD was there speaking to the guys today. I thought that was awesome to see the team captain out there, and I hope he is on the roster this coming year. And if he's not, I hope he ends up an assistant coach or a front office member in some way, shape, or form. So it was great to see Udonis out there. Here's Eric Spoelstra And another thing I wanted to mention was that Chris Quinn is going to be coaching the summer league teams, Orlando and Vegas. It resembles, you know, before Spoelstra was the head coach, when Riley was still the head coach, Spoelstra got the chance to coach summer league back in the day. Chris Quinn is now getting the chance to do that. Here is Eric Spoelstra, his focus on the coaching staff for the summer.
So it's pretty simple right now. Our focus as a coaching staff is these practices. They deserve our full attention. Coach Quinn and the staff have been preparing for this for over 2 weeks to make sure the practices are run right, efficient, and they're getting our very best work.
And, you know, here's Spoelstra, and I think this ties into the quote-unquote Heat culture. Yeah, I mentioned a guy like, you know, Rodney Magruder, how he thrived as a rookie last year. The aforementioned Udonis Haslam was an undrafted player. He rose through summer league. Chris Quinn rose through the Heat summer league many years ago. Eric Spoelstra here discusses the history of Heat players benefiting from the summer program.
We have a history of guys that have benefited from this summer program. And you don't know who will emerge, but they deserve our full attention, our best work, our best commitment. That's what we intend on giving these guys. Free agency will happen starting this weekend. And like I said, we'll attack it the way the Miami Heat typically does, and we'll see where the chips fall after that.
Kind of wonder. I love what he said there at the end of that. Free agency coming up. We'll attack it the way the Miami Heat does. Like, what exactly does that mean? Whale hunting? And I know, like, Spoelstra isn't the guy in charge of selecting or signing the players. He's in charge of coaching the players. It comes down to Pat Riley's wisdom and Andy Ellisberg's math. That's how you get this stuff done in free agency. But for Spoelstra to say, we'll attack it the way that Miami Heat attacks it. Like, what does that mean, coach? I should have asked him the follow-up. Does that mean you'll be coaching Gordon Hayward in a couple of weeks? Like, what does that mean exactly? You'll attack it the way the Miami Heat attack it. That means you're shooting for the stars, I would think. Don't know if you agree with me or not, Texter writes, but if the Miami Heat squeaked into the playoffs, which they almost did, I think Magruder would have made the all-rookie team and Spo would have gotten the Coach of the Year award. Had they gotten to the playoffs, they voted for Coach of the Year right at the end of the regular season. So, yeah, I think Spo would have gotten it if he'd made the playoffs, and Magruder probably would have been all-rookie team. I agree with both of those things. Right. So obviously how you do in the playoffs had no effect on those postseason honors because the votes were cast right after the regular season. But I do 1,000% agree that if the Heat had just been a half game better or a tiebreaker better and they had advanced to the postseason and Chicago hadn't, then, yeah, I think Eric Spoelstra would have been Coach of the Year. I thought the disqualifying factor for him, the reason why he didn't take Coach of the Year, was only because he didn't make the playoffs. That was the deciding factor. I think he would have gotten it and would have deserved it had the Heat been a playoff team. So the other thing that happened on the Heat practice court today, be honest if this has happened to you before, because I'm hoping this is something that's happened to every human being on the planet. You know, I had talked earlier this week about the great shopping session, like a six-hour marathon that my wife and I had at the Dolphin Mall over the weekend. Got to buy a lot of new stuff, new clothes, supplies for our big vacation coming up in a couple of weeks. Among the things that I purchased, I'm very proud of these, got some new stretchy jeans. Very comfortable. They're from American Eagle, I think. Very comfortable, stretchy jeans. I put them on for the first time today, Solana. And when I put these new jeans, pull them right out of the American Eagle bag to put these jeans on, I made sure to take the tags out, right? There are two tags on there. Rip those sumbitches right out. Put the jeans on. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm ready to hit the day. I'm ready to seize the day. Carpe diem. In my new stretchy jeans from American Eagle. So the first thing I did today was, after leaving the house, I show up to the American Airlines Arena, to the practice court, talk to Spo, talk to Bam Adebayo, Akero White. We're doing our thing there, media scrums. There's like 15, 20 members of the media, a bunch of Heat players out there. Udonis was there, didn't get to talk to him today, but he was out there. So I'm rocking my new jeans. I'm standing in this scrum as we're talking to Eric Spoelstra. I'm standing there, and I get tapped on the shoulder, and I look over, and it's the head of Heat Media Relations, Tim Donovan, tapping me on the shoulder, and I look over at him. He points down to my brand new jeans, and I realize, even though I'd removed both tags, I was still rocking the sticker. The goddamn sticker. You see that thing. It indicates you have a little sticker on the side, what size you are. If you forget to take that out, you're in trouble. I'm walking around today before I get to the practice facility. I'm walking around for like an hour and a half like a buffoon with the sticker still on my jeans. Thank God Tim Donovan pointed it out to me. That I don't know how many people saw this and laughed at me before this happened. I was so careful, so meticulous. Take the tags out of the jeans. I missed the sticker. I'm walking around today like an idiot with the sticker on my jeans. Be honest if this has happened to you, because I'm hoping this happens to everybody. We'll take some calls on the other side. Later this hour, we'll have my daily top three list. So here it is. You can start. I put this out there on Twitter a few hours ago. Got some great suggestions. We'll fire it up on the text line as well, 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. In honor of Phil Jackson, who's parted ways with the New York Knicks organization. 3 years of blunders as Knicks team president. The Phil Jackson era has come to an end. He's got to be one of the biggest flops in front office history for any American sport, right? Any American sport, Phil has to be one of the worst. So in Phil's honor, tonight, we rank my top three worst executives in sports history. I'm thinking you got to give some love to Phil. Jeff Ireland was getting a lot of love on Twitter when I threw it out there. Is that a Miami bias, or does he deserve to make the list? The texture wrote in, and this is very true, stretchy jeans are like wearing sweatpants, but fashionable. When I tried these on, I thought this is a life hack. Never owned stretchy jeans before, but I guarantee to you I will own more in the future. Very comfortable as jeans go. Very stretchy. Although when you forget to take the sticker off, that can be a bit of a problem. FYI, great conversation starter. If you wear large or extra large shirts, put that sticker over the zipper of the jeans. At the very least, it gets you the conversation. The rest is up to you. See, this is why I'm glad I don't date anymore, that I'm married. So you're telling me, great conversation starter is to put the sticker on your zipper, and that gets the conversation. Like, I'm so glad I'm off the market. Because just the idea of trying to use that as an opener, it terrifies me. I hope my wife never leaves me, because I will be worthless after that. I've got no place to go but down if that were ever to happen. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Tracy in Coconut Creek. What's up, Tracy?
Hey, nothing much, Alex. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Long time. How you been?
I was in New York for a little bit of time, man, and in Queens, seeing some family in Long Island, Queens, and also in Brooklyn. So,
Were you the one who got rid of Phil Jackson, so your work is done? You came back to South Florida.
Exactly. I dusted as I walked on the tarmac. No, remember you were talking about the airports, airplanes with the, you know, as I walked on the tarmac, I shook the dust off my feet and walked up the ladder and said, my work is done here.
Great movie scene right there.
Exactly. You know, we talk about tarmacs and all those things. You ever seen the movie Midnight Express?
I'm embarrassed to say I have not. I know people will be mad at me, but I've not seen it.
But you've heard sure. of it in folklore and all, yeah. And that tarmac scene though, man, when he's about to it's you can just Google the tarmac scene of that movie.
The only tarmac scene I remember is in Casablanca. That's like a 100-year-old movie. I remember that one. He is looking at
right?
you, kid.
Right, and you know the funny thing about it is you can't with airplanes and so forth. What do you call that? You had the term for it where you're not on the tarmac, that tunnel. What's the term for that?
I mean, I call it the sky tunnel. I'm not even sure if that's the official term, but that's what everybody knows what that is, right? The tunnel you walk into from the terminal to the plane, don't have to step outside. Boom, it's beautiful.
Right, you know, it doesn't carry much weight in the sky tunnel scene. Everything has to be kind of tarmac, you know? Mm-hmm. The tarmac and the ladder, whatever
true.
There is when there's an airplane, that sky tunnel just doesn't carry the weight of doing something on a tarmac or something like that, whatever the movie or TV is or show that is.
It's a great point. You're right. Like, there's never been, like, a dramatic scene where you're, like, waiting for somebody in the sky tunnel. It's always on the tarmac. Yeah,
it's always a tarmac scene. You know, I was wondering, Donald, a quick thing, too, a couple quick points. Because I was out of the area again. What was your take on the Heat's pick?
You know, honestly, I liked it. Now, I'm not going to claim that I knew a lot about Bam Adebayo before the draft, but As soon as you do the research, Tracy, couple things to remember here. This is a player who was good enough in high school to be McDonald's All-American, good enough to get recruited by John Calipari, who's only targeting the best of the best, had a great workout with the Miami Heat. They love his personality. They love his story, his background, grew up with a single mom who he wants to take care of, grew up in a single wide trailer. You know, I know that those details may not really matter in the long run, but this guy overcame a lot of adversity in his life, and I think that they like that. And he's a defensive stalwart. Yeah, I think he's got to round out areas of his offensive game. Everybody tells me, though, that Tracy, he's a lot better of a jump shooter than they gave him credit for, because he wasn't asked to do a lot of that in Kentucky. He was asked to be just a rebounding specialist, didn't really have the chance to go outside and shoot the 17-footer like he may be doing now in the NBA. So he may be a little bit underrated in that aspect. And Akero White did say today he saw Adebayo shooting some long jumpers in practice today and looked pretty good in that. So I think this is a guy who's a little bit of a project, right? He's going to take some development, but you're not going to find too many players at 14th overall who don't need development, right? That's something you have to consider. For the people who are ripping the pick, you're not finding starting caliber guys usually at 14th. You're finding rotational guys, developmental players. You're not finding franchise changers there. I think the Heat did fine with that pick.
Yeah, you know, when you're playing with McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's All-Americans, it doesn't you're not asked to do much there as far as perimeter shooting as a big guy,
because
right. they have four guys who already can do that and guys coming off the bench, so they really don't need you for that, you know. So I like the two, Alex. I just, you know, my take on it too is, like, for what it's worth, I thought it was a really good pick coming out of Kentucky and Calipari doing that. You know, you brought up another good point that was really funny about going into another. Now that game, was that the 14-10 14-10 Orange Bowl loss with was that a home game or that
no?
Was
it was
away
a road
game.
Yeah, the whole thing was, Tracy, that I went to Atlanta. I want to say this was, it had to have been 2007. I think that's what year it had to have been. I go into Atlanta because I was dating this terrible, terrible woman at the time. Couldn't stand her, but we you know, it's one of those things. Can't stand the person yet you stay in the relationship way too long. She had family in Atlanta. So we go out there and visit. We go to a Canes game. I'm wearing a Ken Dorsey throwback jersey under a Georgia Tech sweatshirt. I was in disguise, and I thought, I can rip off this sweatshirt, show everybody my Ken Dorsey jersey like Hulk Hogan, and people will be trying to fight me, throw stuff. I was going to have a great time with this. I rip off the sweatshirt to reveal the Canes jersey. Nobody cared. Bunch of lifeless fans up there in Atlanta.
No, I know, man. I've been to Bobby Dodd Stadium, and when they play Georgia, yeah, that gets a little gets some. But yeah, the Canes are getting that way with them too right now. But you know, they're pretty. It's pretty very. You can go to that stadium and that's not expect to get anything. You could bring your family there. Put it this way, you could bring
right.
your mom and your grandmother there. And there's certain stadiums that no, mom and grandma stay home. You can't come to this game. Now I right. tell you this: anybody who's got, you know, I think you got Kahunas, Donald. If you go into now, it won't happen anymore. I don't know if this is their last year there or they're gone already. But going into the black hole with the Raiders. Anybody who goes into Oakland, Alameda, Coliseum.
Oh, they, yeah,
man.
They still got a couple years there before they move to Vegas. Yeah, it's going to take forever.
You've got some big ones, my friend, to go in there with an opposing jersey, because those people are really, you know, and what happens is this too. Not only are they like that, but I think that they think they have a reputation to live up to. So I just think that, now if you're big, if it's, you know, three big football playing type of three, four big, you know, then, you know, that's different. But if you're just a regular dude going in there like that, I tip my cap to you if you go into that stadium with another team's jersey.
Yeah, something I can tell you, I tried this in Atlanta, nothing happened, but I am way too smart to go into the Coliseum in Oakland wearing another team's colors. I know not to do that because I will get my ass kicked. I know that that's not in the cards for me.
You and me both, Donald. And my last thing is, now I don't want to preempt. I don't want to do a preemptive strike on your list. But could I throw out my three people?
Oh yeah, yeah. But please do. I've been asking for suggestions because here's the thing. Like there are so many names of bad executives.
God,
I have trouble narrowing it down to three people. So I'd love to hear yours.
Well, my three off the top of my head, once you mentioned it, and you could come up with some great great points on this. The three that I think Jeff Ireland is a, it's a team or South Florida Miami thing. I don't think mm-hmm. people throughout the nation look at Jeff Ireland the way we do.
Fair.
But the three people I can think of that I used to always hear a lot about, and not just hear about, but really look and say, you know what, you're right about this guy. Bill Bidwell for Arizona. Mm-hmm. Now, not as bad now, but back in the day, man, the Cardinals used to stink. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember Cardinals. Hearing people throw yeah. trash at that man's name for sure.
Bill Bidwell, another one who was another guy like that was the great Paul Brown's son, Mike Brown. Now, Mike Brown has done well since they got Marvin Lewis. Now, they never won a playoff game, right. but at least he's brought them some. You know, besides bringing a lot of criminal element to the team, he has brought them to the playoffs a lot now. Never won anything, but before Mike Brown, before
Marvin Lewis, yeah, they were a laughing stock before that.
Horrible, horrible. And the last one is, and this is another team that's turned around like those other, Elgin Baylor. You may not remember.
I can tell you he is on the short list. I'm not sure if Baylor makes the top three, but he's going to be very close.
Elgin Baylor was great Hall of Fame player, tremendous player from what I saw in video and read about, man, because he was before my time. But this man could not. He would have, I swear to you, he'd have LeBron, Kevin Durant, Michael Jordan, and whoever else, and this guy would go pick Darko Milicic or whatever the guy's name is. He would just pick someone totally, he'd go back and tell the owner, I got a feeling about this guy. It's just the way he was, man. But Elgin Baylor was one of those guys, man. Those are the three off the top of my head that I could think of.
Love it. I appreciate you, Tracy.
Hey, great show as always, Donald, man. Talk to you later.
Good stuff, man. Welcome back to town. Right. Thanks for getting rid of Phil Jackson up there. Although maybe I shouldn't thank you for that because – yeah, if Phil stayed another 2 years with the Knicks, that would just dig them 2 years deeper in a hole of being terrible. So I think anything they do after this is going to make them better. You can't do worse than Phil, unless you bring back Isaiah Thomas. Might be the only way you can do worse than Phil Jackson. We got a text earlier. I don't know if I can find it, but I can remember the gist of it. That, hey, no, I was rooting for Phil to spend more time there in New York, from a Sixers fan. Oh, here it is. I think they should give Phil another 5 or 6 years to fix things, from a 76ers fan. I mean, Heat fans feel the same way. You know, we don't play in their division, but, you know, we used to have this Rock'em Sock'em Robot type of rivalry with the Knicks in the late 90s. And, you know, we only got past them in the playoffs that one time. Other than that, you had close series, but the Knicks got the edge there. Legit rivalry. Pat Riley faxed in his resignation, came to the Miami Heat, Pat the Rat. They hate him there to this day. Used to be legitimate friction between the Heat and the New York Knicks. I think we've lost a little bit of that because there have been so many missteps for that franchise along the way. And I want to make this very clear. For as bad a job that Phil Jackson has done there for 3 years, their problems go a lot farther back than that. Right? Like you can blame Phil for the immediate pressing issues. You know, the problems with the roster right now. The friction he had with Carmelo and Kristaps Porzingis, can blame that stuff on Phil. But you can't blame the last 15 years on Phil. That's on James Dolan. Like that's the real problem there, right? I mean, James Dolan is the reason why Phil had that job to begin with. But Jim Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, it starts at the top. Like that's why that franchise has been a laughing stock. You know, the buck stops with him. Dolan he's not done a single productive thing for the Knicks organization. Been okay as owner of the New York Rangers, but with the Knicks, it's been a disaster. The problems go deeper than Phil. It's why, you know, you can't blame the Marlins' problems a couple of years ago on Dan Jennings, who was the GM and the manager. The problems were with Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson. It starts at the top. So the real issue there with the Knicks are with James Dolan. And hey, I think you're going to be in a better situation without Phil running things on the basketball side. But you're not going to save that franchise until James Dolan sells the team or leaves the picture somehow. I don't know how that happens. There's not too many owners out there are voluntarily selling. Maybe Jeffrey Lurie is the exception to that. But until James Dolan stops meddling with things, the Knicks are not going to get dramatically better. That's the reality as a Knicks fan. You have to realize that the problems really start at the top. We will rank on the other side. Top three worst executives in American sports history. I do appreciate something that Tracy said there, and I feel the same way, because when I threw this out to suggestions on Twitter, of course you get a lot of love for, or a lot of hate for Jeff Ireland, but you know, I don't know if Jeff Ireland deserves to make the top three worst list, because this is a national thing, not a local thing. I do think that the local demographic here clouds that a little bit. It's a little bit of a Miami bias. Like, Jeff Ireland was bad, don't get me wrong. Bad Miami Dolphins GM. But I don't think he's top three worst all time. I think that's a little bit locally biased. We'll have the final top three when we come back. You're listening to Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Oh, man, this was a fun one. Not an easy one. Yeah, I try to narrow these things down to top three because that's the real challenge, right? You do a top 10, a top 20. Everybody gets in. Consolation prizes, participation trophies. We do the heavy lifting here. In honor of Phil Jackson, who has parted ways with the New York Knicks after just 3 years of embarrassment as their president of basketball operations. We rank top three worst executives in American sports history. Now, let me throw out, to be fair, some of those who were considered but did not make the final three cut. Jeff Ireland. There's a little bit of a local bias with that one. Not saying he was good at his job. He was terrible. But I don't think Jeff Ireland is top three worst all time. Michael Jordan, also bad, but I don't think he deserves the worst of the worst as an exec. And you know who was very close, okay? It came down to two names for the number three spot, and I really considered Elgin Baylor to make the list, but Elgin Baylor didn't make the list only because, here's my logic, he was employed by Donald Sterling, who even, okay, before we knew that Donald Sterling was racist, before the tape came out, already considered an awful owner, very cheap, right? So Elgin Baylor was tasked with compiling the roster of an awful, cheap, overly frugal owner. Bad, you know, had one winning season, had a 12-70 debut season, ranks as one of the worst ever. Elgin Baylor was bad, didn't quite make the cut. I'll tell you who did. Number three, and you can remember, man, it was palpable for this guy to get rid of him. Matt Millen. Remember Matt Millen, former GM of the Detroit Lions? 31-84 record. 270 winning percentage in 7-plus seasons there. That was a joke. And, you know, again, it helps when you work for an owner that just has issues. You know, Clay Ford gave him a 5-year extension after his first 4 years of being terrible. And you would remember this, man, before you had the Al Golden, Fire Al Golden banners in Miami, you had the Fire Millen chants in Detroit. That became a national slogan there, or a local slogan there, a regional slogan in Michigan, the Fire Millen chants. Hated that guy. All he did was draft wide receivers. All he did, wide receiver after wide receiver after wide receiver, and Joey Harrington. But it was a mess there. Matt Millen, one of the worst of all time. And one of the reasons why I gave Matt Millen some love was a well-respected broadcaster before he became the GM in Detroit. And that ruined his broadcasting career after that. Like, he couldn't really go back to anything because he had soiled his reputation by being such a bad GM. I think Millen deserved the love as number three. And that's the one football guy we throw in because it's basketball here the rest of the way. Number two. I wrestled with this one as well, but when it's all said and done, Phil Jackson is number two, not number one. But Phil, I think if he had put in another year or two in New York, I think he would have been more strongly considered for the top spot of embarrassment, worst executive in sports. But the fact he was only there 3 years, only so much damage he can do in that time, went through countless head coaches, bad head coaches, tried to force that antiquated triangle offense on coaches and players, never worked. Once outbid himself to sign a free agent in Joakim Noah. Believed in Derrick Rose. Couldn't get along with Carmelo. Couldn't get along with the one good thing he did, drafting Kristaps Porzingis. Couldn't get along with the guy. Didn't put in the time and the work in scouting. Was collecting fat checks and doing nothing. And highest paid executive in American sports last year, Phil Jackson, $12 million he made last year. To do what exactly? Not so sure. Made $60 million for 1,200 days on the job there with the New York Knicks. Terrible, but not the worst. But Phil Jackson is number two. How about this, you New Yorkers out there? Number one, I go with Isaiah Thomas. We go with New York Knicks executives at one and two. Isaiah Thomas, who also once did amazing things here, that's sarcasm, with the FIU Panthers as their head basketball coach. What a great tenure that was. But Isaiah Thomas, I thought this excerpt from a Bleacher Report story says it well with Isaiah. Thomas owns the distinction of ruining both one of the NBA's most storied franchises. Because remember, before Phil Jackson could make it worse, Isaiah had to ruin the Knicks first, right? He laid the groundwork for Phil. He ruined both one of the NBA's most storied franchises and an entire league. This is why Isaiah's number one, right? Because you can't forget, when Isaiah bought the Continental Basketball Association in 1998, by 2001, it had been forced into bankruptcy, in large part because of Thomas's mismanagement and overspending. He then failed upward, hired by the New York Knicks as president of basketball operations. While there, he threw truckloads of money at every free agent who wandered anywhere near Madison Square Garden. He traded three players and four draft picks, who would be Joakim Noah and LaMarcus Aldridge, to the Bulls for the chronically underperforming Eddie Curry. Ooh, that was bad. He kept New York at the top of the payroll scale and the bottom of the standings before being ushered out the door in 2008. Isaiah Thomas is brutal. And another reason why Isaiah gets the love or the lack of love at number one is I don't know if there are too many people out there who did such a bad job as an executive, they actually ruined their overall reputation even after being an excellent player. I think Isaiah fits in that category, right? Where no matter how bad of an exec Michael Jordan was and is, he's never going to ruin that NBA reputation. Phil Jackson, I don't think, is going to ruin his reputation as a coach by being a bad executive. I think that's intact. Whereas Isaiah Thomas, a lot of people never look at him the same way even as a player because of what he did as an executive. That, to me, is very difficult, to be so bad in the front office that you even soil your reputation as a player that had nothing to do with that. Bill Parcells, for his stint in Miami, a texter writes, wasn't good, but Parcells had done enough good things earlier in his career. You know, I know that, like, that was technically the first time he was just a front office guy, but he was, as the head coach in Dallas, was selecting players, had those powers before, and Miami was the only place where Parcells was awful. That was bad here. That was another guy collecting fat checks for doing nothing. But Parcells, very bad. I don't think he quite gets worst of the worst. Oh, and Rafa in Miami is not happy for the way that I rationalize Elgin Baylor. I'm telling you, Elgin Baylor was the first guy out, right? If I'm doing my worst execs bracketology, the guy who almost made it was Elgin Baylor. He didn't make the cut for me because he happened to work for maybe the worst owner in the history of sports in Donald Sterling. So I gave him a little bit of leeway for that, that Sterling not only was an awful human being, but a very cheap owner. So it was hard to succeed under that guy. Baylor was bad, no question, was just knocking on the door of the top three. But that's why I gave him a pass and kept him off the list. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. What sins did I commit on my list? Who shouldn't have been in there? Who should have been in there? Yeah, I'd mentioned that New Yorkers still despise Pat Riley for faxing in his resignation. Texter writes, in Dono, I think they've cooled off on Riley with the Pat the Rat stuff since the three championships. Well, maybe the younger fans, like those who are like too young to remember the 1990s, the millennial fans. But I guarantee you, man, I've got friends, so-called friends, who were Knicks fans in their late 30s, early 40s, and they will hate Pat Riley forever, right? Like if you talk to Richie from Boar's Head, he will never stop calling Riley Pat the Rat. They will hold on to that till the end of their days. If you were too young to remember it, that's one thing. But any Knick fan who is old enough to remember a time when you still faxed things to people, like resignation letters, which is what Riley did, you still hold a grudge against that guy. I don't think that's cooled off very well at all. At all. Oh, man. We'll have a soccer update in the 9 o'clock hour. I do have, though, hopefully the score is still holding up. Miami FC hosting Atlanta. NASL versus MLS is still... Oh, Miami FC's up 2-1? Dude, I'm proud of these guys, man. They keep and I know this game is not over yet, but, you know, in soccer, a 2-1 lead feels pretty safe most of the time, right? I just jinxed it now, I'm sure. But 2-1 lead over Atlanta. They keep beating MLS teams. This is impressive. Right? Big O hitched his wagon to the right team this time. Fantastic stuff. And I've still, you know, I would have gone to the game tonight. Of course, I have important things to do. I'm here working. But I'm going to go to the next home game that I'm able to attend. Went to a lot of home games last year. They've really stepped it up there. They do a good job there at Ricardo Silva Stadium. Ricardo Silva is doing a nice job spending money, committing to that product. You know, I heard on Big O Show today, though, that apparently the Francesco Totti rumors, there's not anything behind that right now. He had Ricardo Silva on today. You know, that would be something that would definitely get me out to the stadium for every game. If you could sign Francesco Totti, an Italian soccer legend, I will support them nonetheless. But I think bringing in like an established, you know, former longtime team captain for a great European team, I think that'd be a really cool thing for them. So maybe. Oh, man. Rafa in Miami. Still upset that I kept Elgin off the list. You blew it, Dono. You really blew it. And Kramer. Ah, Seinfeld quotes. I love it. You're a bad man. Vinny Badman. The Alex Dono Show continues. 9 o'clock hour coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.